don't know about you guys, but you're at Northwestern. When I was at Northwestern, all of the grad students who are coming in from overseas, I just assumed that they all just came from like wealthy parents. I had no idea like where they got their money from. Apparently, there are actual companies and services like Nomad Credit that can help connect international students with financing, with credit cards, with student loan payment stuff. So I decided to have Brian Hoffman, its founder, and VP Nathan Treadwell into the show to kind of clear the air on this and make dispel the crazy thought I had that it was only rich kids from overseas that got to go to school in America. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. So I guess I would give a very crazy definition of what Nomad Credit is. I love the name, by the way. So I'll have you first go ahead, Brian, and tell us what Nomad Credit is, and then we'll kind of pull it apart from there.
Sure. So we are like a financial marketplace, sort of like a LendingTree, who you may have heard of. But we focus on international customers, so students, work visa holders.
So it would be great and beneficial if their parents were rich.
I wish the same for me, too.
So, at least you have a much better chance of guaranteeing that repayment, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But regardless, so anyway, how does Nomad Credit work for an international student?
So we are the only company in the world that works with like U.S.-based and foreign lenders. So we work with lenders in the U.S., in the U.K., in India, and soon China, and hopefully Nepal, which would be interesting.
A random throw Nepal in there.
Yeah, some schools like want help with Nepal. We're like, all right, so we'll...
From Nepal to DePaul. That's how we're handling
there you
that's
go.
How we handle things. I should get a job in marketing. How did you come up with this, and how do you make contacts with international lenders? Because I feel like that's a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche.
It's kind of like how you'd get, like, I don't know, Amex or Discover. You just keep pounding them on LinkedIn until they pick up, and eventually they take
you seriously. So it's like anything else in this world. If you want to get it, you just keep pounding people on the internet.
So actually, we were doing the lending. And we were doing, like, all this tough-to-underwrite lending, like international students and offshore medical schools. And
I got to feel like that would be – well, actually, that's funny. I wasn't thinking that. I know some folks that went to, like, Grenada or whatever for medical school. It's like – there's actually a huge U.S. market of people who, for whatever number of reasons, have decided to go, you know, offshore to get the beginning part of their medical practice down. And so it's like, where would you go? Like, you certainly aren't going to, like, for that, that definitely is like a rich dad thing. Like, you wouldn't, where would you go to get financing to go to Grenada, like, for school?
There's only a couple schools that have loan programs. So we were looking into doing the other loan programs for all the other schools. And along the way, between doing that and doing international students, like, we really saw this opportunity. Not to mention, like, when Trump got elected, our capital for international students froze. So we were kind of forced to do this, but it's worked out beautifully.
So what is your background, just curiously? Are you a world traveler who just noticed that all these people need credit?
No. Interestingly enough, I don't even have a passport that's valid. I need to do that. But we're so busy growing the business, so I haven't been able to.
That's amazing. I don't actually have a passport that's valid.
Unfortunately, like the Pennsylvania state ID, you can't get on a plane anymore. So I have to do it now.
Yeah. Well, you're in now. But, well, I would think at some point you're going to want to go overseas to meet some of your partners.
Yeah, sometime. But anyways, yeah, so I used to be a trader and, you know, a little bit arrogant. I was like, you know what? Avant just showed up, is worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
I could do the same thing. Like, it's just that easy, right?
Not according to Al Goldstein, but in general, I see the transition from IU to trader to disrupting company. I see that as a very common success story here. So I hope I see the same for you probably, because every other, including some of our own investors, are IU to trader to investor. So.
That sounds about right in the city, yeah.
Oh, for sure. So anyway, you think you're going to disrupt this whole thing. You decide, I'm going to jump in both feet, leave trading. What were the first steps that you took to get Nomad off the ground?
Well, there's a lot of trying to figure everything out, right? Yeah. It was just like, hey, I'm just going to do this because it's so easy. Like, SoFi did it, and Avant did it, so, like, hey, I traded derivatives. Of course I can do it, right? Well, no. So you got, you know, at first you just try to raise capital. It's like venture capital, right? You know, just here's a deck, and that's not how.
In theory.
Yeah, it's not how.
In San Francisco, I think it works that way, kind of. I mean, if you've got, like, you went to a cool school, and you got, like, a really, like, clicky, like, .io or something, and they just hand you, I think they just give you, you just print the money, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the problems is, like, a lot of these guys, like, oh, well, we invested in a company whose, you know, family and friends round was $1 million. It's like, well, mine's going to be like $20,000,
yeah,
which, you know, it's tough. So, I mean, for us, we've really just built this thing up, you know, hard work.
Yeah. So where is the status of Nomad right now? Like, where are things at from the business side? You know, how many people are using the platform? Like, what is it? Walk me through maybe using it. Like, let's say we had, I think on here I'm looking, is it can be workforce, foreign workforce as well, correct?
Yeah. So we, you have a tech guy who's, from India and he's not a US citizen.
I was
going to say,
that's a real example, because we had, in a previous company that I started, I had a person from India who I met at Northwestern. He had to go back to India at some point, and it was like, well, I'd love to have you come back fairly regularly to continue working. And then the money thing came up. It was like, well, while his parents were wealthy, they were not interested in continuing to pay for him to come to the U.S. because in their mind, all he was doing was smoking weed, which was not necessarily untrue, but he was also breaking some code while he was here, smoking weed. So he wanted to get some money. And actually, he's very successful, was and is still very successful. But it ended up becoming a real problem. We did not continue the relationship, and he's on to doing his own thing, really mostly because he couldn't find money to actually pay to be here for the few months at a time that he was able to stay and be here. He couldn't come up with enough money to do that, and we were at a startup, so I couldn't pay him, obviously. And so that was a real problem. And yeah. I mean, we didn't solve it then, and I assume that that's something that now – conceptually, I could have pushed him towards you guys, and that's something we could look at, or
absolutely
minus the weed part. if I took that part out of the application,
yeah. Typically, you want to leave that off your loan application, but
well, he's a cannabis entrepreneur.
I'm not the underwriter. Is that worth?
Yes, is cannabis entrepreneurship, is that something that is a red flag still? Maybe.
Yeah. Probably. I don't know that we have that field in our search form. So
we got to get that in. Yeah, if it's not on there, then you just put other, and that's a total mystery.
Maybe
box.
We should create a lending company that's only underwriting is based on cannabis.
So Panther Capital is a group that's been on the show that is not a lender in the space per se, but he's a kind of a I don't want to, he might be listening to this show. how should we put this? Shotgun blast investor, and sometimes it feels like a lender.
Okay.
So it's, like he, it's kind of in that space. One of the first people, I would absolutely be not surprised at all if there ends up being a lender dedicated to that space, just because of how much money it costs to buy and grow. I mean, mm-hmm. And it's obviously a huge market.
Yeah. I've definitely heard investors.
We have sidetracked.
Not want my business, but they want introductions to this business.
Yeah.
Well,
you can introduce people to crypto, but that's decentralized, so there's no one to Coinbase. That's who we introduce you to. So walk me through the process. If Adishesh Iyengar, who is my guy, if Adishesh wanted to come back here and take out some money, how does it work with Nomad?
So Nate handles a lot of our customer interaction. So
yeah. So
walk me through the potless Adishesh Iyengar.
You come to the site. You either sign up through the site. There's also ways to contact us through chat or the phone. Basically, we collect some of his information to see, he'll fill out a profile, like what school he might be trying to attend, just what his situation is. And through that, we'll be able to see which of our lending partners he might be a fit for. And then through that, we'll give an introduction to those lending partners.
So how directly do you work with the lending partners? How kind of shortened is the process? If you know what I mean? I'll give you kind of a real time example again, using my friend Adishesh. He is, let's say he took, you guys helped him secure a line of credit to go to school. Mm-hmm. So he's whether the school gave him scholarships, whatever, that's fine, but he's paying for living expenses here. So what he's done, he's got, call it 3 months left here. He decides that he wants to work. So he's going to join the startup. He gets visa. He's going to be able to stay for a couple of years. He's going to need a line of credit to continue that until the startup is able to pay him, or whatever the case. How quickly could you, if he calls you and says, "Listen, I'm running out on my line for school. I want to stay a little longer." How quickly could you guys turn around and help him find some more credit, to assuming he's continues to pay his credit and so forth? Is that something that would work, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, we can turn this around as soon as possible. I mean, it's typically the students or any customer just takes forever to fill out their application, and it takes forever to upload the documents, or they do it wrong, and But in terms of if they just got it done right now, a day, I don't know, pretty quickly.
So you guys have the access to the capital is there,
assuming that they could be underwritten by.
I don't mean that. I mean for you. So are you pairing people directly? I'm just trying to understand the process.
So we pair. So Because we used to be, doing the lending, we know that hey, your bank is going to want this kid or yours is not.
Yep.
So these guys come in, they say where they're going to go, and we say, all right, you got to go here.
Yep.
And then from there, if they fill it out right away, you know, it's pretty instantaneous if they...
And then how do you guys end up making money in this? Because you're not holding the capital, so it's not about interest rates and things like that. You guys are taking a fee.
Yeah, we get fees from our partners. Some, you know, pay monthly fees to advertise with us, but basically it's per loan and on loan volume. So we don't charge our customers anything. It's all from the lenders.
That's awesome. Very cool. What do you see as like the growth for this sort of business? I mean, obviously I see a ton of growth potential in the business, but where do you see personally like the next line of, because you obviously have like the international thing is a good niche for now, but I imagine that you're going to want to be expanding into other things. Like where do you see Nomad going? Because the name is Nomad, so one is to assume it's nomadic. You'll be,
you know, hopefully we get big enough so I can afford one of those boats on Lake Michigan in the summer.
Well, yeah, that would be awesome.
that's the goal, right?
I think that's everyone's goal in this room.
I've been watching a lot of Entourage lately, so you know, that's what motivates me.
I wanted to follow over that. Like, I don't even know. That sounds like something I would do. Like, I was sitting there watching a ton of Entourage. I was like, you know what? I thought I could build the next Avant, so I did. And I was like, you know what? I think I can grow. I can build a posse and just hang out in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, this is E right here. We got a guitar.
You're the first one in. Nate's the first one in the posse. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Do I get to like occasionally cameo in this thing? Would that be?
You can be Ari and just come in and yell at us.
That sounds terrific. This is a great job. So yeah, I mean, I guess in general, like you strike me as an entrepreneur who wants to continue to build and build and build and build to get to that boat. I mean, I'm trying to look at how do I look for Nomad in the future? Like, do you feel like that's something that, because it's a catchy name. The service is, I mean, sort of ubiquitous. You can use it in different areas. Your strengths are basically whoever you connect, right? So, I mean, mm-hmm. On the pairing side with international, that's a very unique niche. You've got other areas that you'd be able to try to jump at and use the same methodology, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know Alex from Graphene Ventures, but a while ago he told me, build it big and boldly, and that's kind of the way we've been doing. Just let's do it as big as possible.
Like, it's so funny that you said that. I'm working on a business plan. Like, no, I don't want to say a business plan, but like a plan, mini plan / pitch deck that I'm sending to some people I'm trying to partner on another company on. And it, literally, like, the question came back with, like, you know, we're running lean, we have access to capital, but we're also like kind of busy with like current like projects, but we kind of like want to build. I'm like, no, who cares? Like, just sell the shit out of it. Right. And then don't worry about it. We'll hire new people to take care of it. Like, it's perfectly fine. And so then this is like a 3 or 4 email, you know, back and forth correspondence on like, well, what about this? And to the point of Alex and you, I just wrote back in the last email, we do it loud and proud. Like, that's how you just claim your flag, pop it in the ground. Nomad's here. Here's how we do it. And just broadcast to the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing about being an options trader, and I was probably way too aggressive for any of the risk managers I ever had.
No way.
Let's just let it fly. Like, if
you don't want to tell your risk managers, like the pot thing, don't tell your risk managers about the Entourage thing. Just an FYI.
My investors love that, by the way.
Well, depends on what business your investors got rich in. That's the question.
So, you know, I think for us, you know, one thing that's like kind of not known is that I'd say probably 25 to 35% of our business is maybe Indian students going to study in Europe or Canada or Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's 5 million international students throughout the world. So people don't necessarily realize how big this business is. You know, and our average loan size is $50,000, where in America, a U.S. student is probably like, I don't know, $7,000 or $8,000. So, I mean, it's pretty big. I would say that the big thing that we just got into is like student recruiting.
Yeah.
So you can make, you know, call it $1,000 on a kid who, you know, you got him a loan. You could make 5-10 times that if you could place him at DePaul or you place him at some other school.
Yeah.
So I think that's like, you know, hopefully where we get our boat.
You should check. Yeah. As long as you're not storing and moving people across waterways on that boat, I think you're fine. I'll have to check with my lawyer on that one, though. You should definitely check up. We've had a guy on here, Matt Meltzer, several times from Sage Corp. They're out of 1871. Mostly because of convenience. They're not, you know, they've been around for a while now. But essentially, they help connect students with overseas experiences.
Okay.
And vice versa. Mm-hmm. Overseas students with U.S. experiences at, you know, like mission-based stuff, whatever else. But the snag that he always ran into was financing. Mm-hmm. Like, the school, it has to be something that, like, the school is willing to give up money from their tuition, which is never going to happen.
Right.
And parents have to have enough money to cover it or find a student loan. Student loans suck. So, you know, maybe there's an opportunity with you guys there to connect with them and see if there's a way to set up the financing that way, because they already have a lot of the placement of the universities. Like the University of Telemach, Northwestern says, oh, we're going to have, you know, we're looking for 20 kids from Nepal. You can, Naples, whatever. you can, Naples, Florida, Nepal, whatever. Nepalese coins. You can have those individuals come in basically ahead of time through Sage Corp. And then you can guarantee they're being placed. I don't know. Something to learn from anyway.
Yeah, we should definitely look into that. I mean, I think this month we'll get like 2,000 kids looking to study abroad. And on the year, we got like 50,000 we're planning on. So, like, we should be able to get at least one of them to, you know, Sage Corp to get into school.
That would be I like where you guys are going with it. I think it's very interesting. Where do people go to learn more about Nomad Credit and how do they get rolling with this?
Yeah, first you can come to the site. It's nomadcredit.com. We also have a forum that you can check out, discuss.nomadcredit.com, as well as if you want to reach out to us, just send us a note at help@nomadcredit.com. We'd be happy to answer any questions and make the introductions that might be needed.
Very cool. When are we getting out on that boat?
Hopefully this summer.
You're going to have the boat by the end of the summer?
Build it big and bold, my man.
Oh, my God. I love it. Brian Hoffman. Nathan Treadwell, thank you guys so much for coming in and taking the time today.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. You can catch this episode of More at technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.
Wait a minute, wait a turn minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope though, right. You got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Talking bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of we moves. Talking Scott Katoon. I'm saying wait a minute, wait turn, a minute. On turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it's it though. Play I it hope though. You got in tune. Right. He talking bigger business. Talking big he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of we talking Scott Katoon.